What is Advent? Why do we light candles on the stage? Where do the origins of this practice come from? And how does Advent apply personally to each one of us? Well, welcome back to the Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. My name is Brad, and here we want to have conversations to help the church engage more with God, His Word, and the culture around us. And join with me today is someone who we call the Fourth Wise Man, Pastor Rob Goddard.
How many wise men were there really?
That's a great question.
Well, it is a good question because sometimes cults nail Christians on that because we sometimes think there were only three. Now we clearly know there were four because I've been put into that category, but maybe even more.
Only three gifts.
Only three gifts. I like that. That's good. That's good. It is good to be here, Brad. Good to be with you.
Yes. For the month of December, at least this Advent season, currently it's still November. We have Advent in November. We're going to be releasing weekly Christmas podcasts to get us ready for this season and just thinking about what the significance is that Christ came for us and everything that comes with that in our culture and how we read the Bible to get the most out of that.
Sounds like a great idea. I like it. Is Elias okay with it?
I hope so.
Good. Let's track.
Yeah. So let's start with the basic first question. What is the origin of Advent?
The origin of Advent. Well, the word literally means arrival or coming. And if we looked at the origin of Advent, it would be from the history of the Christian church. So 4th or 5th century, somewhere around there, they got the idea that this would be a good thing to celebrate. The culture became Christian for a little while and then went in and outside of Christianity. The idea, it was linked to who Jesus was revealed to be. So it was connected to the wise men, his baptism, actually a season of fasting and repentance, an opportunity in church history to celebrate this four-week season of preparation in terms of celebrating Jesus' birth, but celebrating in the context of relationship and a longing for his return. So in answer to your question, 3rd or 4th century, 4th or 5th century, somewhere in there, the people of God saying, hey, we longed for the Messiah to come. We long for the return of Jesus. We're in the already and not yet. He had kept his promises. Now we know he will keep his promises. So it's a Maranatha, even so, Lord Jesus, come. Mm-hmm. And an Advent, Lord Jesus, you came. So it's a mixture of both.
Okay. So where in the Bible do we see themes of Advent played out kind of through the narrative of Scripture?
That's a great question. So Advent in and of itself is never mentioned. However, there is all sorts of things about the coming of Jesus, prophecies. There's all sorts of things about when he came. Mm-hmm. In fact, the vast majority of the New Testament would be Gospels and talking about Jesus and talking about the early church and those things. And then the promise of his return. So the themes of Advent are incredibly biblical. The word Advent, or even a call to celebrate Advent in the way that we do, is not found in the Bible. So we wouldn't argue that it's a biblical mandate to celebrate. Right. We would say these are great things to remind us in the season of Christmas what Christmas is for and why it's important and how we can live our lives in that relationship with Jesus, driven and defined by that relationship. God is a God who keeps his promises. He kept his promise. He is keeping his promises. He will keep his promises. So in the midst of a broken world, busyness of the Christmas season, this becomes something that we can do together to remind us of the importance of who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, and that Jesus is coming again.
Hmm. Along those lines, why is it so important that we actually do celebrate Christmas? Because, you know, Easter is where we celebrate the death and resurrection of Christ, where we see the gospel on display, this good news of our sins actually being paid for. But why is it important that we make such a big deal out of the birth of Christ at Christmas time?
Well, that's a great question. I think who Jesus is matters. And when we understand that he's truly God, truly man, he is Emmanuel, God with us, we see that the Christmas story is an integral part of the gospel story. So when theologians come out and say, well, it's not that important that Jesus was born of a virgin. Ah, maybe he was, but if he wasn't, it doesn't matter. We fight back and say, no, the story of Christmas matters. It matters in the gospels. It matters in the prophetic utterances of the Old Testament. It matters because who Jesus is integral to our salvation, who Jesus was born to be, truly man, truly God. So Christmas becomes this incredible celebration of the love of God for us, the whole idea of why he was coming, and then a celebration of his death and resurrection in the Christmas story. So I think if you said to me, should we just celebrate Christmas in and of itself? I'd say, no, Christmas is a part of the bigger story. But without Christmas, the bigger story doesn't make any sense. So I think we should celebrate Christmas biblically, not culturally.
Right.
But I think it's an essential celebration for us as followers of Jesus. I'm not saying you need to set aside your entire Christmas season. Mm-hmm. I would even say some churches don't celebrate Advent. Some churches just continue on in their expository preaching. Certainly John Calvin and some of the early church reformers did that.
Yep.
But I would say for us, we want to use it as an opportunity to remind us of the greatness of the gospel, the greatness of the coming of the Messiah, right. And to remind us that the Messiah is coming again and to live in light of those things. And this Christmas for Advent, we're doing prophecy. So a reminder of the truth of the Bible and the authenticity of the Savior, and then this longing to live our lives driven and defined by the one who keeps his promises. So I think it's really important to celebrate Christmas in a Christian way.
Right.
And it's also an amazing opportunity for us to reach out with the gospel, because people are actually talking about Jesus during this season, probably more than any other season. We might argue Easter as well, but then they're talking about Easter bunnies and chocolates and those sorts of things. Whereas Christmas, most people would still say, you know, Santa Claus is probably more important for most people than Jesus, but most people would still understand a manger scene or those sorts of things. So culturally, it's one of the best times we have to share the gospel.
Yeah, and we even see like Advent calendars all around us, like different companies with their different kinds of Advent calendars where they're, but obviously they're just counting down the days till you get more presents and more gifts.
Correct.
But this anticipation is obviously of us looking to something more.
Yeah, and the culture mixes Christianity. There's syncretism. We live in a syncretistic culture. We have to, or I suppose, have the opportunity to, would be a better way to say it, because it's not mandated by the Bible, but what an opportunity for us to introduce Jesus to our conversations, to share the greatness and glory of the one who has come and the one who is coming again, and the importance of believing in him so that we can spend eternity in heaven and live on purpose here.
Yeah, a greater celebration than just family and friends and food and gifts, but of Christ is.
Yeah, and all those things are wonderful. I don't want to take away from those things, but if those become what dominates your Christmas, you're missing out on something that is way greater in terms of joy, purpose, and really the way we live our lives, driven and defined by that. Yeah. So if your anticipation of a Christian is that of a Christmas is that of a 10-year-old, which is amazing, I'm not arguing that, you're missing out on the greatest joy, which is the coming of Jesus. What that means to us now, he's alive, he's risen from the dead, he's coming again. All of those things tie into the Christmas celebration, and Advent celebrates those things.
Yeah. I got us a bit off track, so let's get back to Advent when we...
Yeah, I have no idea where you are in my notes, but you said you kind of wanted to do that a little bit more.
Yeah, you're welcome. So what is the meaning behind the candles that we light? Usually Advent seems to have, at least now how we have it, is with candles that we light each week. That's one way that it's done. What is the meaning behind that? Where does that come from? Why do we do it?
So again, that would be in church history, 4th or 5th century. Candles were very significant to them, light of the world, I think tying into that. Historically, there's been all sorts of different ideas as to what these candles mean. Typically, in my tradition, prophecy candle starts. So you start with a prophecy candle, then a Bethlehem candle, then a shepherd's candle, then an angel's candle, then a Christ candle. The fifth candle, I think, consistently is a Christ candle. Mm-hmm. I would say that's just one line of tradition. So what we're trying to do in overall Advent is remind ourselves of the greatness of who Jesus is, why he came, the second coming. We want to have all of those things mixed in. So this year, we're actually doing it more prophetically. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at each candle to remind us of a specific prophecy from the Old Testament. So I don't think specifically what you celebrate each candle meaning matters. Mm-hmm. I do think they all have to point to Jesus, and they all have to help us live in right relationship with him, a reminder of why we celebrate this season.
Right. So because there's other times, I think last year we may have done like hope, peace, love.
For sure.
And those. So it's, we're using them of each week. We want to be fixating on a different aspect of what we're talking about. And there's many different things.
Yeah, practical impact in life. And those ones you mentioned are the ones, Mennonite tradition has actually gone to those ones, stepping away from kind of the history of the church. I would just again say, because none of it's biblical, what we're trying to do, it's an overflow of biblical principles. Mm-hmm. We're trying very hard, not only in line with history, but in line with our relationship with Jesus, to use these opportunities to remind ourselves of the greatness of relationship, but also to give an opportunity to reach out to the world. And I think the traditions are important, but even more important is that reminder of who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, and that Jesus is coming again.
Right. We don't want to just do it because they did it in the past, and that seems like a good idea, but we actually want to use it as a tool, a visual, and a reminder as we get into this busy season. Because there's a lot of distractions, too. I mean, this is probably one of the craziest, anxious times of the year because you're worried about family, you're worried about what you're going to get people, you're worried about all these other things, and yet we just got to focus on Christ in the midst of that.
Yeah, I think it's so important. Christmas, for me, is a wonderful time. I love Christmas. I love the family coming back together again. For some people, it's a horrific time because of deep loss. For all of us, hurting or celebrating, it's distracting. And I think we can use it to distract us in the right way, meaning distract us from real life to the reality of who God is to impact that real life. So yeah, I think it's so important that we take advantage of this opportunity to posture ourselves around relationship and use traditions to do that, for sure. But we don't want those traditions to become dead traditions. We certainly don't want them to lose their biblical meaning.
Yeah. Well, next I have a question where I'm asking, okay, how are Christians able to participate in Advent, like you said, it meaning arrival, anticipation of coming, in their own time? Usually we view this as a thing we do as a church together, but what are some of these things that are important for just us when we're alone in our prayer life or in our own time with the Lord, or maybe where in Scripture should we be just reading through during this time to actually prepare our hearts well?
I think it's a great question, because we want the church to infiltrate the home, I suppose is how we would say it, or Christ, relationship with Christ, to make sure it's dominating everything. I think there's tons and tons of readings. In our current world, Advent's becoming more and more popular. So I think Al Mohler just came out with an Advent reading. In the past, we have people like Kevin DeYoung, or just John Piper, I think, has done one for many, many years. You can get access to these and use them. I would suggest you do. Most importantly, though, is that you take the time to remind yourselves of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Certainly the Gospels. Every Gospel has a significant Christ story. And some people, well, what about John? Well, John does too. John reaches back a little bit farther and doesn't spend as much time focusing on the Advent in terms of how we would want to do it. But I would say spend time in the early Gospels, spend time in Isaiah, some of the prophecies, and then use outside sources. And there are many that are very, very good. So I would recommend one that's done by somebody from the Gospel Coalition, just because there's a lot of smoky stuff out there too.
Yeah.
But I think use this time as a family, not only to anticipate the gifts you're going to get, especially if you have young children, that's a blast. Grandchildren is going to be so fun for us, but to also remind them that this is way more than those things. So take the time to read the Gospels, not just on Christmas morning. Take the time to find other tools, resources to do that. Pray through the themes if you want. Your themes, hope, peace, joy, love. Those are great. Or this year, we're going to do it as we study God's Word. Look at these prophecies. So Isaiah 7, Emmanuel, what does that mean? What does it mean that God is with us? It's one of the most profound promises and realities in the universe. Talk about that as a family in its simplicity, but also its complexity. I think the incarnation, so just taking the very first one we're going to study this coming Sunday, you take that one, you just go, wow, like it's overwhelming. We can dig super deep, or you can stay on the surface, but take it home and talk about what it means and talk about the difference that makes and why, you know, so far before Jesus was born, why do these prophecies matter and how does that affirm who we are and our faith? And I think you can take what is going on around you, especially at church, and bring it home and then bring in other things as well.
Yeah, this time of year, we tend to, in looking at those, get to emphasize what some of the most important things about Christianity actually is, in what God has done for us. When we look at Jesus, that's God in the flesh, which is just an incredible thing that we don't see in any other religion, in any other story. God is the solution for us. He
so important.
Comes. And when we forget that, the fact that on this earth that we're currently walking on, if you went back 2,000 years ago in a time machine, God was walking on this earth, literally, which is an incredible thing to actually just think about. Like he could have just walked into this room, like he had a body.
It's overwhelming.
Where you get to think about that and you go, wow.
Yeah, and we forget because we get so distracted and disoriented in life. This is how much God loves us. So yeah, it's so important, Brad.
Yeah, it's easy to get caught up in maybe some of the other things, or maybe other things in the Bible that are important to study, but some of these things to just come back to that we just get to rest in and rejoice in. And I think this time of year is great where we get to remind ourselves of those things.
Agree.
So you also mentioned earlier that Advent has this, we think of Advent as Christmas time, the anticipation of Christ's birth. Obviously that's already happened. And so you said it also has this second meaning or second part to it where we are looking ahead and anticipating Christ coming again. So how does that part of Advent actually play into us and during this season too.
I think it's super important. Two things that Christmas should always tie into, certainly Advent as well, but let's just go Christmas. First is that Jesus didn't come as a little, but when you think about Jesus, he didn't come to stay as a little baby. He came as a baby for sure, and that we need to celebrate. Born of a virgin, that we need to celebrate. But he came to accomplish a purpose, and that purpose was to live a perfect life, to die on the cross, to rise again, conquering sin and death, so that all who believe in him can be forgiven and attain eternal life. We need to take the Christmas story there, because if you have your view of God as baby Jesus, you've lost sight of who God really is, mm-hmm. God the Son, here we're talking about. But secondly, we also want to anticipate his return. What do I mean by that? Well, Christmas allows us to say, I want to live in light of not only what he's done, but that he's coming again. And that's where really our suffering is not only in the intimacy of a suffering Savior, but in the power of the glory of a returning Savior. So we know God understands. He was tempted in every way such as we. He suffered much more intensely than we've ever suffered. He can sympathize with us. But not only that, we know he's coming again. And why does that matter, this understanding in terms of the context of our salvation? Because it makes our troubles, no matter how intense they are, light and momentary, because we see in his return that glory, that understanding, the culmination of history. And so it allows us to live our lives now, even if they're broken and hurting, in a way that glorifies him. So Advent becomes not just about a Savior that has come, but a Savior that impacts our lives currently with the gospel, and a Savior that is coming again, and that glory impacts how we see the rest of life.
Mm-hmm. How do you personally do that in your life, in having reminders to remind you Christ is coming again? I think most of us think, oh, I'll get to heaven when I die, but not a lot of us actually anticipate while Christ is going to return. So how do you get your mind around that and practice that in your own life?
You know, that's a great question. It gets easier as you get older. So if you're young, don't beat yourself up too much. I'll never forget preaching a sermon. I was a youth pastor, and I was a great preacher when I was a youth pastor, way better than I am now. Knew way more than I know now as well. And I was preaching a sermon on Philippians 1:21, to live as Christ, to die as gain. And I got the middle of the sermon. I'm amazing up there. I'm halfway through. I'm marching around the service at the stage, and everybody's enwrapped in my amazing preaching. And I finished to live as Christ, and then I got into die as gain, and I realized, literally almost fell over, that I didn't believe that. And I think sometimes when you're younger, you have so much ahead of you and you have such an earthly focus that dying can't be gained, because first you should have, and I think I've shared this with the church before, ping golf clubs, or yeah. I want to play hockey against, or I want to have children or grandchildren or great, yeah. or whatever it is. I think the older you get, the more you realize how fragile and frail those things are. So I want to acknowledge it is not easy. I know for my mom and dad, they're both anticipating with great joy either the return of Jesus or their death. Mm-hmm. I'm not anticipating that as much as they are, their death anyway.
For sure.
But I just want to acknowledge life is strange, and it's easier the older you get, I think, to anticipate the return of Jesus or your own death. But I do think it's important you remind yourself of the frailty of the life we live and what we're truly to treasure. So how do I do that now? Like I said, it's a little bit easier the older I get. But I think the constant reminder that we've been called to a holy life set apart by God and for God, and that this life is relational. So the greatest thing I long for in terms of that relationship is the return of Jesus, when I will see him as he is, when I will truly know him, the intimacy of that. And the more I can be relational in my religion, the more I anticipate the return of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just the basics of spiritual growth. And when we do our five, so I know you're going to someday teach on this, Brad, but when we do our five, the fifth one is just this first love devotion. If I have a first love devotion, if I go on a holiday away from Lori, or usually it's not a holiday, usually it's something for church or ministry, yeah. I can't wait to get back, because not because I necessarily prefer here to wherever I am, because I can't wait to get back to see her.
Yeah.
So I think when you anticipate the return of Jesus, you're anticipating everything being better. So yeah, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us a glory that far outweighs them all. But the greatest thing in that glory is relational. So if I was to say to you as a young man, how can you be one who's constantly not only remembering what Jesus came to do, Advent, or Christmas. Not only do I want you to be gospel oriented, so constantly keeping the gospel in focus, but I want you to be so passionate about your relationship with him that the greatest joy you could have, the greatest anticipation you can have is when he is actually returning, and that intimacy, that the depth of that relationship is so profound and so real. And so if and that becomes your greatest longing, then, so now it's relational Christianity, then it makes sense to say to live as Christ to die is gain.
Mm. Yeah, I know for myself in it, there's been a wrestle of, okay, how do you actually get your mind around that? And I think one of the most comforting things in helping was in John, where it says, this is eternal life, that you know Jesus. And I think understanding that gets a lot more easy when you go, oh, I can start doing that right now. I can know Jesus better right now.
Yes.
And that is the most joyful thing I can do in this life. And so if I start doing that right now, and that's a joyful thing, I'm going, man, how great is eternity going to be if I get to do that forever?
Yeah.
Where and if Christ comes in, yeah, I get to experience that more fully. But yet, especially in this Christmas time, it's so easy to get wrapped up in, oh, that's not my purpose. My purpose is for these other things. And so I think especially right now, we need to have this forward Advent view even in this season, because then we're going to get distracted and we're gonna get so materially viewed on what's in our culture right now or whatever it is, and we won't actually think of the value of Christ's return.
Yeah, we're trying to get to the point, I think you said this well, where we love Jesus so much that our greatest passion, our greatest delight will be his return. Our greatest longing is to know him better, and everything is secondary to that. That's not easy. I'm not arguing it's easy. But then, for me, I wanted to have a child before Jesus came again. That was, you know, to live as Christ again. Well, wait until I have a kid. Wait until I have... Now, all of a sudden, those things, not that they're less important, but Jesus just becomes profoundly and extremely more important.
Yeah.
So I love what you're saying. Mm. And I would affirm it completely. The better we know him, the more we long for him. And the more we long for him, the better we'll know him. It's a circular, passionate pursuit of seeking to be like Jesus.
Mm. Well, that will conclude our time here. My encouragement would be that during this season, as... there is so much distraction that may come up, that during those times you fix your eyes on the Lord and what he has done. Remember, as you're doing your Christmas shopping or planning your Christmas meals or your get-togethers, to also remember there is something more valuable, more important, and that is the coming of Christ, and we get to look ahead to that together. And so we will have more of these coming out each week during this Christmas season to help us prepare for this time.
Thank you. Maranatha, even so.
Even so.
Lord Jesus, come.
Amen. We'll see you guys next time.